Hurry boy, I now call this meeting of the Amateur Detective Club to order. My name is Tristan Miller, the Saucy Sleuth.
I'm Melissa Maley, the Spy.
I'm Tyler Riley, and Confused.
Oh, well, I was doing a bit of a New Zealand accent there, you see.
Hurry boy yeah, means
welcome.
Sorry, somebody from the Newsies?
Yeah. Open the door and seize the day. But yeah, welcome to Amateur Detective Club. Before we begin our episode improperly, I'd like to do a little bit of housekeeping up top. We started...
Tyler?
Mm-hmm.
Tyler, you got to introduce yourself?
Yes, I did.
Oh, good. Okay, sorry, I dissociated from
No
worries. My weird choice.
You threw us completely off.
I told you when we started the call, I'm in a silly mood. I got the zoomies. You know? I'm
like, because we're on Zoom.
Yeah, yes, that too. Mm-hmm. Yes, very much so. I'm like, bah. A bit of housekeeping. We have a YouTube channel now. It's youtube.com/ADC pod, if you can believe it. Hopefully by the time you hear it, all the episodes will be up there because a lot of people are listening to podcasts on YouTube these days. And we thought, hey, why not us?
Yeah.
Truly.
Why not us? We're also on Instagram. It is at ADC pod. And
so strong.
You gotta keep the brand strong. And I post stuff there and I share some fun things from Agatha Christie's page and other fun things I see. And yeah, it's a good time. Also, that account, somehow I have unlocked the algorithm to like really fabulous libraries and bookstores. And I'm not upset about it.
Good. That's great.
Speaking of things we also have, we also have a Patreon in which you can donate money to. It is patreon.com/ADC pod because branding.
Yeah.
And we're also on the Twitter and the Facebooks.
Yeah.
At ADC pod as well.
Oh yeah, we do have we do have a Twitter.
We still do. I have it. It's the only one I have. I have the Twitter app and it's the only thing that's logged in there. So it's just for business for me.
Yeah.
And then Melissa does the Instagram and then Tyler does the Facebook and helps moderate the Facebook group. There's a Facebook group you can join if you want to bother us particularly. Also, you can email us at Amateur Detective Club. Please write a review, rate it. We could use a little boost. Also.
Or you know what I love about the Spotify rating? I don't need to write a thing. It's just stars.
That's great.
That is great.
Another cool thing about the Spotify is they let you do a poll each week. And so I've been trying to engage people that way. For the first episode of us covering this season of Only Murders in the Building, I asked, who does everyone think everybody is? And so...
Wait, what? Oh, okay. Yes,
yeah.
I got you.
Who is who? The real mystery is who is who. And I've been going to be gathering evidence this entire season. That's my...
That's your mystery that you need to... Okay. I'm going to Spotify now, just in case you were wondering what I was doing on my phone.
Okay, whatever.
Also...
You can't...
Is it also Spotify at ADC Cloud?
Okay, so there's a bit of a clump there.
Was a legitimate question. I don't know.
I don't know.
Is it Spotify? You just put an Amateur Detective Club and you put in, to listen to the podcast.
I just wanted to see the poll. I wasn't trying to derail.
You weren't trying to swing the vote?
No, I just want to look at it.
Okay. All right. All right. Today we're talking about season 2, episode 3 of Only Moira's in the Building.
Yeah, we are. Oh, boy.
Yeah,
it's getting interesting.
Mm-hmm. It's all about Bunny this episode.
It's her last day, but the last day of Bunny Folger. Is that the episode title? I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah, it's very close to that if it's not that exactly.
Okay.
Yes. So we have been talking about what commercials we've been seeing on Hulu.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh boy.
So I did pay attention this time. And the first one I saw was for boner pills for some reason.
Cool.
Clearly they've figured it out.
I wasn't logged into your account at all.
I'm like, who do they think is watching this?
Someone then, that needs a little Cialis. I don't know.
It was the Hims brand. I mean, not to promote, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know why they're giving me that. But then also Lidl, which is a store I've never been to in my life. So there you go.
Lidl.
Yeah, it's a grocery store.
It's really good. There's one in Astoria right near you.
Chocolate chip cookies, overhyped.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's a German import overhyped store, but it's very affordable. It's quite good. Definitely check it out.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to have to figure out where that is because I have not seen it. So
I will text you a link.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, advertising is working on me, I suppose. All right.
That's fair.
So
I didn't get a single Monopoly Go ad, which I was very happy with.
Oh, good.
Oh.
I'm free. I'm free for just
free. And as per normal, like as soon as a ad popped up, my attention completely.
Excellent. Good.
As it should be.
All right, so we open on our trio as they were in the last episode, and Oliver has taken out the microphone and is interviewing the bird for the podcast.
Mrs. Gambolini.
Mrs. Gambolini, because she has said, I know who did it, right? I know who did it. And so this is just absolutely an off-the-wall scene. When they're just spouting crazy stuff. And Charles is like, maybe Bunny was my half-sister. I accidentally kissed Bunny on the lips. We were going in for a hug and a kiss on the cheek. And then it's just
over-explaining, which on one hand, like, is so, why ever utter that aloud? But also at the same time, I understand the need to be like, I need to know that I'm okay. I need to know that I'm going to heaven. Kind of a moment.
My favorite thing is he goes, we stumbled into it and then we kind of just like hung out and did it some more, like, or something like that. Which
sloshed around a while.
Oh, God. I was writing while I was not writing like this. I was writing on my phone. I was writing so and good. I missed that part. Oh my gosh.
I love that because, like, honestly, same. If that happened, I'd be like, yeah, you know what? I guess this is what's happening now.
Oh my gosh. And at some point, Oliver says that, you know, this is impossible to do. I haven't worked under these conditions before. And I did a production of The Elephant Man with a real elephant, which is
very good line.
Yeah, that is not what that play is about at all. So it's just a wacky and wild scene. And I just wrote, Mabel can't.
That's true.
She's just standing in the back like, these old men. So
they play one. They play knick-knack on my thumb.
She also suggests to them while they're talking to Mrs. Gambolini that the reason that they're not getting the right response from Mrs. Gambolini is because they're not speaking to her as Bunny would have spoken to her.
Mm-mm.
And so we then are treated to Martin Short and Steve Martin doing impressions of Bunny. Because I've already forgotten the character names. But I know Mrs. Gambolini.
It's Charles and Oliver, but just, and it is being treated to Steve Martin and Martin Short, actually quite specifically, I think, because that's very much, that was one moment where I really did kind of jump out of the reality of the episode and be like, Steve Martin and Martin Short are having some fun right now.
That's so funny that you're ever able to actually not go, that's Steve Martin and Martin Short. Every time I look at that, I'm like, yeah, Steve and Marty are having a great time.
I honestly feel that about like actors though. Like I hear that about Meryl Streep a lot for season 3 at a point. Like, oh, Meryl Streep is really good. Like I'm never just like so absorbed that I'm like thinking that it's not Meryl Streep.
That's fair. I think that way a lot about
I don't know what. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if that's because that's not method acting. It's like method watching. Maybe like well,
I have a pilot from Worst Idea of All Time that you should watch, actually.
Okay.
But it's I'll say this. I will become so engrossed in a film that I forget that anything else is going on, or so engrossed in a television show. But in something with like Steve and Martin in this, is just like it's so it's built so firmly on their friendship, you know.
Yeah, and I mean that is a delight. Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. It's a boon to the production.
Sorry, anytime you say Steve and Martin, I'm like, that's a really weird way to say Steve Martin.
I know. Steve Martin Short is how I often refer to them.
They are a before and after on Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah. They are also like a constant, like I do in when I do trivia, I do portmanteaus, and they're constantly showing up there. I will say part of what Tyler said cut off, but I think it'll probably record on your end, but I'm not sure, but we'll see.
Okay.
Anyhow, then after they're talking to the bird, we cut to the credits and then we begin the flashback, right?
Okay. I'm so sorry. Hang on just a second. We're just recording on Zoom, right?
Yeah.
Or were we supposed to be recording separately?
Just on Zoom, baby.
Okay, good. Because I just, if we were supposed to be recording on our own, I just had a momentary panic.
Yeah. So. I can't record my track separately. My computer will crash.
Okay, very good. Sorry to interrupt.
It's fine.
But that seemed important.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we get the titles and then it's flashback to the last day of Bunny's life, right?
They do find
They
do find receipts from March 12th, the day she died, which is how they reconstruct this day.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
well done, Melissa.
We get a lot of Bunny's perspective as well, but so it's implied that, but it's implied that they're reconstructing it as they go along and look at the receipts as well. So
show me the receipts, as they say.
Exactly. Exactly right.
But then we see Bunny on her day, her final day, going down the elevator, going to the street. Food vendor, is that how you okay,
the coffee cart guy?
I like that.
Yeah. She does like her morning routine and the bird wakes her up, which is fun because we have like, you know, the shot of the bird from Mabel and Charles like kind of fades into the shot of the bird waking her up like on a little perch next to the bed as her alarm clock. So she also says, I think this is the moment before the title sequence. She says, I can't believe this is my last day. And it, wait. As board president.
Very silly. So,
yes, we see that the painting is in place on the wall. She reads the paper. She sees the basketball score and she gets grumpy. Yes, Tristan.
A point two towards me being Oliver, not Charles.
Okay.
Okay.
Oliver says, you know, your father's Jimmy Sack. And they go, what? It's like, goes, did I just make that up? So it's still anyone's game.
Yes. Yeah, she goes to the coffee cart guy, talks about the game with him and how bad it was. I assume this is the Knicks because they're terrible.
Canonically.
Yeah. And then she also, after she visits with the coffee cart guy, who seems to like her very much.
Mm-hmm.
They have a good rapport. She takes, you know, some trash and tosses it like a basketball into the trash can nearby. So that's my evidence for the basketball thing. Anyway.
And then has second breakfast, right? Because then we're at the diner.
She does go to the diner eventually.
She does go to the diner, but I think she just grabs coffee from the guy. I don't know if it's second breakfast, but yeah, she does go to,
Well, she throws something in the bin that she bought from the car.
Oh, you know what? You're right.
Okay.
There's some sort of time jump. Something happens in between. I don't remember what it is. Maybe it's, I think it's the scene where she's in the park and she's like, you still have to clean up. I'm eating cake. The guard says I'm eating cake. And then she bumps into the gang and they're like celebrating their victory. And Jibuki Young White's there again, which is great. It's always great to see Jibuki. And then
she sets it down.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. They're having a little gathering in the fountain area of the building. What is that called? Courtyard fountain area. Yes, the courtyard. The fans are selling merch, as you mentioned. They're there, they're having cake, and she is being a real stickler. Nina shows up, who is supposed to be her replacement. So we met her in the previous episode, but it seems like she's supposed to have been the replacement all along. Mm-hmm. Also, when I saw her, because I know we're in a flashback, I'm like, wow, she was that pregnant and she's still pregnant in present day. And I'm like, oh, it's been like 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been like maybe 2 or 3 days. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And then also in that sequence, there's some tension between Nina and Bonnie because there's a really good button that Steve gives. Because she's like, you have to shut it down. And then Nina comes in and starts citing the codes as well. So Nina clearly knows what she's doing. And then they walk off together. And then Steve just turns to one of the people that has merch. He goes, I'll take a mug. And it's just, it made me laugh out loud. I don't know why. It's just very funny to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then Bunny and Nina have a conversation where basically, Nina's got this, and Bunny doesn't want Nina to got this because she's having second thoughts.
Yeah. Bunny runs into Uma, and there's a running theme about how Bunny's kind of considering moving to Boca.
Mm.
Because, you know, it's so cold in the winter, and it's like, ugh, as we know right now from what's going on with our current weather.
Truly.
Winter is not the best. It's pretty much a bummer.
One of us on the call is a winter stan, but go on.
Were you just complaining about not having heat?
There's a difference between not having heat and not liking the winter, Tyler.
Be careful what you wish for, is all I'm saying.
Well, you got me there with an adage.
So after she talks to Uma, she gets a phone call and she said, oh, it's you. I do not want to talk about the painting. Stop calling.
Mm-hmm. And she hangs up on that person.
She does.
And then she's at the diner.
That's right.
Cool.
And she has a really sweet rapport with the waiter.
Ivan.
Yes. Apparently she was there with the day before with somebody else, and she clarifies that person won't be coming back, and that was not a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Stop being up in this woman's business like that.
I mean, I think it was one of those things where the people at the diner were trying to be thoughtful and it's like, oh, if she has someone else coming, I mean, it seems like
And I had the same reaction. Mind your business.
Fair. Oliver and his son come in and they get a takeout order and they have a chat with Bunny, and Oliver makes a weird comment about how they're both lifers and will probably be buried in the building.
And then when the heat kicks on, they'll smell Bunny, which if only I could smell Bunny now, it would be great.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love for the heat to be on.
Oh,
okay.
You just are like, oh, Tristan's a pervert.
I thought you were being sweet.
No. I know, because she has sadly departed. No. You just want heat. Okay.
I just want fair heat. Enough. I just want a little heat.
How selfish of you. So after they leave, Bunny gives the waiter a big tip, like in a big envelope full of money.
Yeah.
And it sounds like she's done this before, because he says something like, you know, oh, this is even more than last time or whatever, or something like that. And it's super sweet. And she says, like, buy the equipment that you've been wanting for your DJ business.
Yep, DJ equipment. And
okay.
Which, oh my gosh, like, she what a way to go out, by bringing more misery onto the earth before you go. Like, how dare you? We were all rooting for you, Bunny. And this is what you do.
And then she says something so sweet and vulnerable. Is like, do that because make sure you love more than one thing. Because if you only love one thing and it goes away, then you have nothing. And then he goes, so what you're trying to say to me is you want another Diet Coke? And she goes, he understands me. Just very good. Very fun moment. But it wasn't very maudlin, and it had me thinking. I'm like, well, I'm kind of glad that way that I do so much dumb garbage creatively. And I'm like, oh, if something's not going well, then I got another thing going on. And I like all of it pretty well. I feel lucky that way.
Absolutely. That it's pretty good advice, I think. Mm-hmm. And they're really doing a lot in this episode to make us like Bunny.
Yeah.
Because they did so much in the last season to make us dislike her.
I always loved her. I love a crotchety old biddy, but you know, I'm unique in that way, perhaps.
Until she was trying to help people support their dreams and whatnot, I was with her.
Tyler, you can't take, you famously, Thornton Wilder told us, you cannot take it with you.
Well, true. I would like to find out myself. Okay. True. I have not seen evidence to the contrary.
So Mabel and Charles get on the elevator with Bunny. They discuss getting glasses and champagne, and then they say hello to her. And, you know, comment about the stuff that she's bought for the board meeting. Mm-hmm. And then the elevator gets stuck for a minute. Charles absolutely panics.
Point.
Yes.
Evidence towards me being Charles. I hate elevators. They scare the shit out of me.
That is true. You do famously really? Hate elevators.
Yeah. I don't like it. If I could take the stairs, I would every time.
I really, the thought of getting stuck in an elevator is very overwhelming to me, but just being in an elevator, I'm okay. Yeah, that's where I am.
You just pop off the top and shimmy up the cables. Like, it's not that difficult, guys.
Okay.
You're asking me to shimmy up cable after I've already pooped in my pants? That I'm pissing down my leg trying to shimmy up a cable? That's going to make it hard for the next person to shimmy up after me. I got to go last, you're saying?
Yes.
Yes, that, you do. Now, if you do that, you have to go last.
I got to go last. I got to go last up this greasy ass freaking pole. That's all magnets. Ugh. I was so afraid.
Anyone who poops themselves has to go last.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fair enough. I mean, those are good rules, to be honest. Mm. But I'll say this, the longer I wait, the more likely it is to poop.
Yeah.
Because, well, you know, I can't hold it in. But anyway, before I moved to New York, I was like deathly afraid of elevators. I would get so anxious on them. I'd have to like really close my eyes and pretend I was doing something else. And then the school I went to was on like the sixth floor of a place. And I'm like, I guess I have to power through this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm more afraid of escalators than I am of elevators.
Same. And I've become more afraid of escalators recently. That's fun.
Okay. I want to hear
down escalator for me.
Okay, there are specific escalators. If they're very, very steep and high, mm-hmm. The ones at the 7 train station,
yep,
Hudson Yards,
yeah,
those I have to like fight off a panic attack every single time I ride them.
Yeah.
Interesting. That, I just that stare.
That's go a ahead. Lot.
Yeah. I just stare where I'm supposed to go and let like it kind of is like the Willy Wonka tunnel. Oh. I get tunnel vision. And I'm like, this is kind of fun. I will stand backwards on an escalator all the time, and it really causes some anxiety for people. And I'm like, I know when I can feel it. Don't worry about it. I got it. I
hate it.
You can do whatever you want, and I'm fine with it. But like, I will not meet you where you are on an escalator.
You know what? I respect it. So they're in the elevator. Go ahead. Sorry, what?
No. They're in the. I just said that's upsetting.
It is upsetting. I mean, listen. I you have to remember that as a kid, I was like skateboarding. I was like jumping out of cars. I was like full. Hi, I'm Tristan Miller. Welcome to Jackass. So like, you know, a little escalator turn. It's not so much for me. You know.
I guess fair enough. Yeah.
But so Bunny. Fixes the elevator, and Mabel says, Bunny, you're a badass. And she says, I thought I was a like stinky old bitch or something, whatever Mabel had called her the previous season. Yeah. And Mabel says, I knew that was going to come and bite me in the ass when I would offer an alt as a semi-professional comedy writer. Mm-hmm. I would have had Mabel say, well, two things can be true, Bunny. Which I think is a better line.
Yeah, anyway. I like that. Yeah, that's true. So yeah, she also does do that. Apology
would have been nice as well, but I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, fair. I don't know.
She gets off the elevator, and I guess it got pretty warm in there, you know?
Oh, because Charles starts freaking out in the elevator, and he's talking about like how it got so warm.
Yeah.
And Bunny references the fact that the fans got cut off when the power to the elevator got cut off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She gets off the elevator and she says out loud, I realized I hate the heat. So it seems like her plans to move to Boca are being scrapped.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a surprise retirement party for Bunny in her apartment in lieu of board meeting.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah, I knew Tyler was going to hate this.
And I knew Cardigan was behind it before anything else was said.
That's so funny. That's so good.
The decorations are wild, and they say things like, it's over.
You're done. Like, things like that.
It's so ominous.
Truly.
The cookies did look good, though.
They did. Yeah.
Finally, as it's all kind of escalating and building up, Bunny declares that she doesn't want to step down anymore. She's not retiring. And Nina is mad. Nina is so mad. So mad. And they have a huge, huge fight. Words are said is not a good situation. Nina is pissed. So.
Because we also find, it's not explicitly stated, but it is inferred that Nina had been trying to get into Bunny's good graces, like these walks and talks that they would do together, all the while Nina had her own plans for the building that definitely went against what Bunny wanted to have happen.
Yes, Bunny wants to preserve the Arconia as it is. Nina wants to upgrade it, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A generational shift or whatever.
Whatever's they are.
Yeah, exactly. The gen whatever's.
Nina's staunchly a millennial.
Sure is.
I don't know the breakdown. We've been over this before.
Yeah, nothing matters anyway. It's all based on who you hang out with anyway.
Yeah, it's impossible to know.
Who can say?
Yeah.
I could be part of the greatest generation and you would never know.
True. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just got back from the war.
We then cut to the trio in real time. They're going through all the evidence and they have their like pin board with all their like strings. And I don't think they have strings, but they just, they have pictures.
Their vision board of words.
Yes. And they move Nina into the prime suspect spot. And I have thoughts about that.
Yeah. And something else is pointed out during the surprise party, and that's that Howard takes the minutes of all the meetings, including the surprise party. So they're like, that's another thing we have to go talk to Howard immediately about.
Oh, yeah.
Cardigan?
Yeah. Yes.
Cardigan. Yes, Cardigan.
Okay. Thank you.
Howard Cardigan, last name. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I think that Nina's too obvious. I think Nina's too obvious.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Can't be her.
I don't know.
Okay. I mean, I would be very impressed that a person who is 9 months pregnant would, because it is implied that she could give birth at any moment.
What if she's not pregnant?
Yeah. What if she's just hiding evidence in her belly?
That would be wild.
Wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
Okay. I think but we have some intrigue with the painting as well. So that's also kind of up in play.
Yeah, that's it is.
True. So
maybe there's more than one mystery this season.
No, mm-hmm. Well, there usually is, right?
That's true.
That's true. Maybe the painting thief and the murderer are not the same person. Or maybe they are.
Who can say? Maybe it's Paul Blart. He's trying to give it back to the art gallery in Las Vegas.
Oh boy. Yep. Yep.
Oh, he got like a promotion in the sequel to like art guard.
No, okay. So the sequel of Paul Blart Mall Cop, he goes to a convention in Vegas that's like all mall cops, and then some crime, some art things happen, and then he prevents it. Kind of, it's fine. You don't need to know that.
Wildly,
Is Paul Blart a mystery film? I know nothing about
them, man.
Other than the
okay.
Did I open Pandora's box?
Okay. So the first one definitely is not. There's a crime element. Like there's like a why are these guys doing this thing? But it's pretty obviously they're like robbing a mall. Like it's Black Friday. They're trying to get the money right after Black Friday. It makes sense. Paul Blart Mall Cop 2. There's no investigation. It's more of a kidnapping, a guy trying to stop a heist. So I can't, in good faith, say. But it's like, I would. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's borderline. Like we could probably get away with it or do bonus content about it. I don't know. Maybe
I would say there's another podcast that's a little bit more prominent than ours that really has talking about Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 on lock.
Do they?
Who would that be?
Yeah, and like, I'm sorry, who was number 27 in Sweden in 2019? I believe we were. Okay.
I would say, though, there is a Kevin James film that is a mystery, and that's, I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry, and the mystery
is why
who
was it made?
Let this happen?
Yeah. Absolutely not.
we should cover Adam Sandler's murder mystery too, though. I think personally.
Oh yeah, the first that's right.
I feel like we did.
We did the first one. We should do the second one. I forgot the first one.
I'm not watching it again.
Did you watch the second one?
I feel like I did because it's a wedding this time, right?
I don't know.
I wonder if we could do it. And only Tristan and I watch it, and then Tyler can just see if he remembers.
Hell yeah. I mean, that's what you're doing with the characters in this series. So yeah.
Oh, I mean, fair.
You're just along for the ride. And I appreciate that. We should also do Glass Onion at some point, probably in between seasons. Oh,
we didn't do that?
No, we were. God. That was right before I left for New Zealand. That was
that's wild. There's so many things that like came out during that period that like I just assume because they're murder mystery things that we have had these discussions.
Nah, man.
Yeah, no.
Then there's a new Mandy Patinkin murder mystery set on a boat that looks like it's not good, but I'm willing to give it a shot.
Sure. Okay. Oh, there's also a second Enola Holmes.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Okay, another thing that I swore we covered in my head.
In your head.
We have to have these discussions, maybe not on mic, although we could pad the runtime. The runtime has been a little short the last couple episodes.
And it gives people who are like listening to this particular episode like a little bonus of like what's to come. Maybe.
Also, yeah, if you want to hear any of the ones we've mentioned, just tweet at us, message us, DM us, email us.
Or leave it in the comments below, because that's the thing we can say now, like and subscribe.
Hey!
Oh yeah, on the YouTubes.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
I want to shout out a podcast that I'm starting to listen to called The Labors of Hercules, which is a Hercule Poirot specific podcast. And they just interviewed a David Suchet.
Oh.
It's very cool. I'll send y'all.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey.
I'm into that.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun.
Yeah. So that's pretty much the episode, right?
All
right.
Well, that's been a fun little.
Oh, yeah.
Fun little interlude. So the trio in real time are going through the evidence. We have the prime suspect in Nina. And then we go back to flashback. Bunny is cleaning up and starts talking to the bird. And then she hears music coming from the vent or laughing, chatting, all that stuff. And she is hearing the trio celebrating. And mm-hmm. after their discussion in the elevator about the champagne that Mabel bought from the grocery store.
Key groceries.
Yeah. Key food, definitely a New York staple. Mm-hmm. Bunny actually brings them a proper bottle of champagne from the Champagne region of France. And it's really sweet. And she says, you know, thank you for saving the building. And Oliver gives her a sweatshirt and they're like, come on, Bunny, try it on. And she does. It's cute. And it's a nice moment they have. And then they don't invite her in.
Yeah. They're a bunch of buttholes.
Yeah. Really that sucked so much. And they do immediately realize they're like, oh no.
And then do nothing. They do nothing about it.
And they're like,
except
oh, it's awkward.
Look
now.
At her through the peephole. And just watch her cry. They just watch this woman cry.
and it's one of those things that people are like, oh, it's too awkward now that she's crying. And I'm like, no, you just open the door and go, hey, are you okay? Why don't you come in? Talk about what's going on.
All you got to do.
Yeah, it's so easy. These three characters are pretty self-involved as people.
That's true. Yeah.
Also it's fair.
It's definitely one of their worst qualities.
Yeah, three really flawed people.
Of course, yes. As are all good characters. But yeah, as I was writing notes, I wrote, they immediately realize that it's super sad. She's crying. Oh, no. oh, no.
Oh, no.
Charles feels really terrible. Like extra the most, I think. They finally do decide to invite her in and she's gone. So they go to the roof. We see Charles kind of staring off into the middle distance, thinking about Bunny. And then into the hallway, we see legs with like jeans, like kind of wide leg jeans ish and heavy boots.
With the fur.
I'm so happy we're going for the same joke at the same time.
They're like work boots, basically. Yeah. Big rubber soles, really thick ones. And Bunny is watching a TV show in the dark. And on the show, we hear, I know who did it. And then Bunny and the bird echo, I know who did it.
Mm-hmm.
So seems like
and
that's
still,
how
never again saying who.
Right.
Yes.
So we don't even know who did it on the television show. but it seems like that's what the bird is quoting. We hear Mabel say, "Does anyone feel like there's still some loose ends?" And I remember her saying that at the end of last season.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of tying it all together. Bunny hears a knock and she says, "It's too late. I don't want to hang out," thinking it's the trio. They knock again. Then we cut to Mabel going down to get more champagne. And Bunny answers the door and says to the unseen person, "What the fuck do you want?" Or something to that effect. I think she does say the F word in there.
Yeah.
And this person attacks her. And then Mabel goes into her apartment where she finds, as we know, Bunny. And we know what happens then.
R.I.P. to a legend.
And that is the end of the episode.
What'd y'all think of this episode here?
Honestly, this is probably my favorite of what I've seen so far. Yeah. What is, like, out of 10, 5, what do we do again? 5?
We're doing 5.
5.
TV show.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I would give it a solid 4 stashes.
Oh, very nice.
I enjoyed the flashbacks. I love this glimpse into the life and world of Bunny that we did. I like the, you know, it wasn't beating you over the head, but like, I love the touch. Like, I like the fact that it dealt with ageism in a way that it wasn't like very blatant. Because I feel like that's not really discussed enough. Yeah, I thought this was a really great showcase for Jane Houdyshell as well as an actress.
Yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I'm going to give it at least a solid 4. This is the kind of episode that I think the series does really well. I remember flashback episodes from last season also being very strong. And like the way that they're written, the way they're intercut, it really finds its stride in this structure, I think. And also, I wrote about that opening scene with everyone just being so off the wall. It was just, I was like, oh, the writers are having such a good time right now. Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, the actors are strong, no doubt, but they always are. But the writing in this one in particular, I thought was really excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think when they take time away from the trio, it's always very solid. Like, there's that episode in season 1 that's done from the perspective of the Demas kid, right? And that's a very strong ep.
My favorite of the series.
Yeah. And I also think that, like, I know that Steve Martin writes, like, is there in the writer's room. And I think something that Steve does really well in his writing, like his novels and stuff, is this sense of loneliness. He, you know, Tommy Smothers, God rest his soul, said of Steve Martin, being in a room with Steve Martin is like being alone. And it's because Steve's an uncomfortable guy. And I think you can see that really exemplifies in characters like Bunny and that sort of thing. And it really creates a lot of empathy for a character that you, in the first season, do know, like, has some reason that she's so crotchety, but like, it's great to actually see it. But it also shows her like being happy, which is really lovely. It's this like very wistful thing. My only complaint is that the show, this episode is not particularly funny. In my opinion, it's got some pretty good gags, but I think it could have had more jokes, but maybe it's, you know, not the time for it. But I'm still going to give it a 4. It's a very solid episode. I would gladly watch it again. I wasn't looking at my phone at all during the time, which is at this point in my life a good indicator that I like a thing.
That's fair. Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just got to look at your phone and power through an episode. I don't know what to tell you.
That's funny because I am on my phone just pretty constantly, no matter if I like something or not. Mm. Usually, every once in a while, something will have my attention so much that I put it down. But But I think that's a me thing. That's not a reflection on any media. I just have a problem that I constantly need to be doing something
with my hands. Sure.
Yeah,
for sure. You're not the only one. I know quite a few people who just be on their phone all the time when they're watching stuff, which is fine. It's not how I was taught to watch things. So
it's
I have
not
to
how adjust. I was.
Fair
Sorry.
Enough.
Yeah. Well,
or like rather, I don't know. I kind of have a stick in up my butt about it, and I have to be more gracious.
Yeah, get it out of there, bud. People.
I'm trying. Every day I'm trying a little bit. More.
I think because I have in the past when I was knitting, I don't know why this is the first thing that comes to my mind, but like in the
maybe
past,
you're
I've been
Mabel.
Like, oh, I wish. when I was knitting, like, mm-hmm. you know, that was just something that I could do. I don't know. I guess I'm just antsy. I think I'm just antsy.
Yeah, you probably just are like boop, 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 which is fair enough. I'm the same way.
Speaking of which, the point for me being Mabel, the you want me to slap you or do you want to just like get it together yourself?
That's like without the slap. It's so good. Yeah. That first scene does have like a lot of jokes and is very strong. And then it goes into like, but we're gonna be kind of melancholy, which is some exactly. of my favorite stuff. I love when things are funny and sad at the same time.
Yeah. And points for Tristan and I being Oliver and Charles is the bird stuff at the beginning when trying to talk to the bird as Bunny. That's yeah
that's pretty strong case.
Yeah I was like, oh wow, okay. Tristan's right. Yikes. But you know, I would have invited Bunny in, and Oliver was the one least likely to invite her in. And
well, I mean, like all three of us, I feel like would have invited her.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. I also think that Oliver wasn't like, well, like he wasn't mean spirited in that moment. I think he just like wasn't thinking about her feelings in any way. I don't think it was personal. He was just like, we're celebrating. Have a nice night. You know, and then he goes, oh, wait a minute. She probably wanted to be like, he's just dumb in that way.
For sure. And I think they all immediately
didn't feel
did.
Malicious until it did.
That's true.
I'll
also say this is a really great acting moment from Selena Gomez in that scene when Bunny shows up and has the champagne gear. And she goes like, you know, they're all like, like Oliver kind of goes, oh, you shouldn't have. And Steve's like, oh, that's really nice. But she look like Selena looks like she's gonna cry. It's so sweet. She's like clearly so touched by it. It's nice bit of acting there. I loved it.
Yeah. And I think that the moment when Mabel called her a badass in the elevator was the thing that prompted that moment most of all.
And why it's so sad that people think that she killed her because she just started liking Bunny.
Yeah. Exactly. Ugh. Yeah.
Murder could be sad.
Not me.
Good. Perfect button on the episode. I don't think we should say another word. I mean, unless we want to.
No, I'm good. I'm all good, mate. I'm fine. I'm gonna go back to where I come from, which is under the bed. This is Jordan Rivers, the man what lives under Tristan's bed, chiming in. I'm gonna just go sneak off and have a cheeky honk shoe real quick, and I'll see you next time. Okay, thanks. Fucking weirdo.
Do we need to change the rating to mature? Like, I don't know what I heard.
I told you, I'm in a goofy mood.
Oh, we just met a character that Tristan's developing. That's fun. Just
developed.
In that moment
seemed very cut out, actually.
You're right.
Excuse me.
I'm so sorry. Yes, very developed character.
Yeah, well.
All right.
And with that, I now call this meeting of the Amateur Detective Club to a close.
Gavel sound.
Are we still here?
Oh my god, should we invite them in?
Oh no!
Oh no, they're crying!